In Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, a man came to Jesus on this occasion and said, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." Now, you know, when you think about that statement, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go," that's a bold statement, isn't it? Now, you know, those of us in this room who are Christians, and most of us are, we made that same statement when we became children of God. We, in all essence, said to our God, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I am binding myself to you. I am going to be a part of your life. I am going to be a part of your work. I am going to be a part of your family. I am going to be a part of your kingdom." And no doubt, my friends, that's the most important statement that we could possibly make in our lives. That we will follow the Lord. And wherever we go means that I'm going to follow you regardless of where you go or where you are at or what you do. Again, a bold statement, isn't it? You know, we need to understand, though, that before we make that kind of a statement, before we make that kind of a commitment, we need to understand sometimes following Jesus can be hard. It's not always easy to follow Jesus, is it? In fact, we find on one occasion Jesus tells his disciples, you know, "The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, if you follow me, Jesus is saying, if you follow me, there are times when it's going to be difficult. There are going to be times when you won't even know where you're going to sleep for the night. And you won't have anywhere to sleep for the night. You may not even know where your next meal is going to come from. And we know that Jesus and his disciples lived a life just like that. So we need to know that there's going to be difficult and discouraging times if you follow the Lord. But then after you realize these things and you have decided within your mind that you are going to follow the Lord regardless of what it puts you into a situation, you don't look back. Never look back. Never give up. And never quit. You know, when we start the Christian life and it begins to get tough and sometimes we just want to give up. But do you know what you're actually doing when you give up? You're actually becoming nothing more than an object of ridicule and a source of discouragement for other people who are still trying to follow God. And I know that at times we all want to give up. We don't want to put up with the troubles and the problems and the trials and the tribulations that come from being a child of God. And we just simply want to turn around and walk away. But always remember, when you do that, you're making that Christian life a little bit harder for someone else. You know, I think that may be the reason that Hebrews 12 is so important to us. Because this Christian race that we are in, and we talk about Christianity as being in a race, we need to understand that it's not a fast race. It's not a sprint. You know, sometimes when we watch the Olympics, I love to watch the sprints. I like to watch the sprints more so than I like to watch the marathon. Because the marathon takes all day long. It takes a long time. But that's what we are. We're marathon runners as Christians. You know, the sprint is a race that is of a short distance, and speed is the critical factor. And you want to do it as fast and as hard as you possibly can to win that race. Paul says we're in a race, but we're not in a sprint. We're in a marathon. We need to use endurance, because endurance is the critical factor in a marathon. And we must pace ourselves. We must know our speed at the beginning, and we must maintain our speed at the end. And if it's a long race, you can't do that with sprint racing. Therefore, we need to know what it takes to make it to the end. You know, Paul, he made it to the end. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, therefore, is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The point of the lesson I want to present to you today is that finishing the race is the critical point here. And if you start out fast and you go as fast and as hard as you can, you're going to run out. We need to pace ourselves so that we can continue to run, that we can go all the way to the end. You know, what we read this morning gives us five pieces of advice, or several pieces of advice, that will help us run this race and do it faithfully. I want to talk about three of them. You know, we become discouraged, and we need encouragement and we need inspiration. I have found that in my life I need inspiration to continue on, and I think we all do. And we can be encouraged and we can be inspired spiritually by those who have gone on before us. The Hebrew writer reminds us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And in fact, that we can be inspired by those who have gone before us, who have run this marathon, who have gone all the way to the end, who have lived the way that God has asked them to live and has completed the race. You know, we began chapter 12 by the word therefore. Now, the word therefore means that something has already been said that is important. You have heard those words, therefore, you need to hear what's coming next. That's what that word actually means. We can look back at Hebrews chapter 11, and the writer gives us a long list of people who have gone before us, who have run the race, and who has been found faithful because they ran the race well. Mentions men such as Noah. Noah spent 120 years building an ark. 120 years. Now, you know, many of us, when we think about ourselves and in terms of the length it takes time to do something, we're a little bit impatient by nature, aren't we? And many of us would have to admit that patience is not one of our virtues. And when we're doing something and we're concerned about something, we want it to move on. We want it to go fast. We want to get it over and done with. And we complain about it when it doesn't work out that way, don't we? But then we hear Noah whispering in our ears, how long have you been waiting? How long has it taken you to do what you're trying to do? Look, it took me 120 years to build that boat. People ridiculed me for it. And I tried to warn them about the judgment that was coming upon them, but they would not listen to me, but I kept on building. And when the floods came, the ark became my vehicle of my salvation and the salvation of my family. I had the patience to take 120 years to build that which led to my salvation. He had what it takes to finish the race. We have the example of Abraham. Abraham was called by God from his home in Ur of Chaldees to a place that God was going to take him to. And the strange thing about this is that God didn't tell him where he was taking him to. He just said, follow me. Go where I send thee. Abraham was an old man. His wife Sarah was an old woman. And yet God told them that they would conceive and bear a son. And through that son's name, many blessings would come their way. Abraham knew that they were not in a position to bear children. But yet Abraham did it. He passed the test. He had what it took to finish the race. We have Joseph. Joseph was not liked by his brothers. They were always making fun of him. They were always ridiculing him. They literally hated him because he was daddy's favorite. So they sold him into slavery. And while in Egypt, he was accused of crimes that he did not commit, and he was thrown in prison. And he was down just about as low as a person could get, but yet he remained faithful to his God. He did not give up. He did not quit the race. And then the tables turned. And Joseph became a very powerful man in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And when he was on top, he still had faith in God. He still served the God that gave him all of these things. He had what it took to finish the race. And we whine when things don't go right with us. And then you hear Joseph say, look, it doesn't take that much to be faithful when things don't go your way. Just maintain the course. Keep running the race. Keep fighting the fight. And God will take care of you. Our list of people could go on and on. We have Moses. We have Samson. We have David. We have so many others in the scripture that was tremendous influences on our lives and can inspire us with our Christianity. As the writer said, there is such a great cloud of witnesses, and we need to listen to them. We need to know their story. We need to know how faithful to God that they were. And every time we become discouraged as a child of God, we need to hear them whisper to us, don't give up, don't lose heart, don't quit. Just keep on going. Let me give you a challenge for this new year. When discouragement comes, and it will, take your mind back to the Word of God. Take your mind back to Hebrews chapter 11 and read again the things that happened to these people and how they responded and how they reacted and how God took care of them and what great works they were able to do. Meditate on these great men and women in chapter 11 of Hebrews, that how they dealt with life. And they're giving you the inspiration, and they're actually giving you the knowledge as to how you can also deal with things that come up in life. And not only that, look about those of your family. Those of us together here, the church family. Maybe our circle of friends that we spend time with outside of this room. Think about how these people have encouraged you, inspired you in the life that you live. And if we can do it, so can they. If they can do it, so can we. The second thing I want to share with you is that we need to be prepared for the struggles that will come our way. You know, the Bible tells us to throw away those things that can entangle us. And that's true. We have things in life that can easily entangle us. The Hebrew writer tells us, put these things aside and run with endurance the race that is marked out for us. There are things in this life that will hinder us, that will keep us from running the race as we need to run for Christ. Maybe it's an improper relationship. Now, I'm not saying that we need to give up all of our out of Christ relationships. If we did that, we would never win anyone to the Lord. But listen to me. If you are in a relationship that drags you down spiritually, if you are in a relationship that pulls you away from Jesus, that makes you walk away from Jesus, friends, you need to let that go. Because look what it's doing to you. It is taking away from you the ability to run that race. And in doing so, it is taking away from you the reward that is awaiting for you at the end of that race. Remember Zacchaeus? The wee little man who climbed up in the tree? Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man. The problem was that he had gained a lot of his wealth dishonestly. But when Jesus came to him, Zacchaeus came to an understanding. I can't serve Jesus and keep doing what I'm doing as a tax collector and associating myself with other cheating tax collectors who are doing the same thing. And therefore, he told the Lord, I'm going to give all of it back fourfold. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to run that race. And I'm going to do it in the right direction. We need to remember what Paul said, that we don't need to be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. Parents, think about that with your kids and the people you allow them to associate with. Bad company will corrupt them. They're not immune to it, just like you wasn't immune to it. Maybe it is possessions. Perhaps there is this something that would hinder us in our Christianity that we have, or maybe something that we want. Maybe it is something that would stop us from being a good example of Christ and would distract us from serving Him. My friends, if that be the case, let that possession go. It is not worth it. Perhaps it's a habit. You know, habits may not be wrong in themselves, but if habits cause you to be so time-consuming with it and be so distracted with it that we can't serve God as a result of it, you need to let that go. Anything that can get in your way of your Christianity, it needs to be far from you. The writer says to get rid of the sins that so easily entangles us. And I have to tell you, friend, it just takes one joint, one pill, one drink, one kiss, one dishonest moment, one affair, one thought, one lustful look, one lie, one dishonest moment, one moment of greed. It just takes one. And you are separated from God. You are out of that race. And another thing we need to know, that with that just one, along can come another. And now you have two. Two things that are distracting you. Two things that are taking you away from the Lord. And then it just keeps on. Another one, and another one, and another one. And before we know it, we are completely entangled in the sin that can easily beset us. The Hebrew writer says, run this race with perseverance. Run this race that is marked out for us, and don't grow weary. Don't lose heart, or this is what can happen to you. Paul put it into these words in Galatians 6 and verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And then finally, we just simply need to focus our attention on Jesus. As we have already read in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What that means, my friend, is that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He opposed at every turn the sin that could so easily beset him, because he faced every type of sin that you and I face today. He was persecuted, he was ridiculed, and yet he stayed the course. He ran the race. He finished the race. He paid the price. So the writer says, when we get tired, when we get discouraged, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Every Christian, every church needs to hear this, because it is so easy to quit. And I dare say that every one of us in this room have quit something at some times in our life because it was just hard. We didn't want to go through the effort to do what we needed to do, so we just walk away from it. And it can happen. It's easy to say, I don't have to do this anymore. It's easy to say, I quit. But my friends, if you begin this year with an I don't care, I can't do this, I quit attitude, you will not make it through 2023 unscathed. You see, we will all stand before God one day in judgment, which means we may get away with things here. You may be able to do a lot of things that nobody knows about. You may be able to quit some things that nobody knows about. I was talking with a young man on one occasion, and I began telling him his story. And his eyes grew bigger the more I talked, and he couldn't understand, how do you know these things? I've been there. I know that. I've done that. Young people, listen to me. The mother and daddy, the grandmother, granddaddy that's sitting next to you have already done what you're facing today. They have dealt with it. If they did it the wrong way, if they did it the right way, they dealt with it. And they can help you deal with it better. Listen to them. Because they have already been there, they know. The fact is, we can get away from things here in this life, but we can't get away from God. One day we will all stand before the God of the universe. He is standing now waiting to receive us as we finish that race. But oh, my friends, if you don't finish the race, you will not want to stand before God. Today, if you are not a Christian, we invite you to give your lives to the Lord. Today, if you are a Christian and you have quit, I encourage you to begin your new year by repenting of your sin, getting your life back on track, and living for Him. Because remember, you will stand before Him. And I remember saying this in a sermon a few weeks ago. You will deal with Him, whether you want to or not. Be sure that you deal with Him in a good way. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.